weeks, so we'll just pick up a little bit where we're at. Of course, I'll fill everyone in. We're actually towards the end of Sefer Shoftim, but in a very, very interesting place, very interesting storyline. So this is Perek Chaf of Sefer Shoftim. I'm going to share my screen with you. Hold on a minute. So let's see here. Okay. So I think everyone should have this now in front of them. So this is Chabad.org, a great website for many, many reasons. But one of the reasons is that they have the English-Hebrew text of Tanakh here. So this is Perek Chaf of Sefer Shoftim. So this way, even if you don't have a text in front of you, you're welcome to look on along. And let's go through the Psukim. So just as a little bit of an introduction here to Perek Chaf. So there was a very, very tragic story that happened in Perek Yotes. And that you may or may not be familiar with, but it's the story of Pilegesh Begiva. Pilegesh Begiva was a story about a person that was known as the Levi, an Ish Levi, and this person, the Ish Levi, had a Pilegesh. He had a concubine that was like a wife in those days, but not quite exactly like a wife. And he had been traveling with her, and the whole story, we're not going to get into all the details of the story, we'll just skip to the tragic part, because that's the precursor to this parak. And in the tragedy, they were looking for a place to stay, and they ended up getting to a city called Giva, which was in Shevet Binyamin. And they come into the city of Giva, this fellow, the Ish Levi, and his Pilegesh, his concubine, and they're looking for a place to stay, and no one's inviting them in. Finally, there was a gentleman who was from Ephraim, not from Binyamin, who offered to bring them in and to host them for the night. And they went into this fellow's house, and they were being hosted for the night. And all of a sudden, a group of thugs, a group of lowlives, encircled the house, almost reminiscent of the story of Sodom. And they, with the people of Sodom surrounding the house of Lot when the Malachim were there, so they surrounded the house of this gentleman, banged on the door, and demanded the Ish Levi. And they wanted him to come out, and they wanted to commit homosexual acts with him. In the end, he obviously did not want to come out. The host went out and tried to dissuade them. In the end, the Pilegesh went out. He pushed her out, without getting into all the details of the story. But they took this Pilegesh, the Pilegesh of the Ish Levi, this group of thugs, and they abused her. Sexually and physically, they abused her all night and returned her to the steps of this house in the morning. The Ish Levi opens the door in the morning. He sees his Pilegesh lying there, and she died from her from the trauma. He takes her. He goes back home with her body, and he ends up cutting her body into 12 pieces and sending one limb, one piece of her body, to each of the Shvatim. As a message that something really terrible just happened in Klal Yisrael and something needs to be done about it. Obviously, this was a horrific, horrific, tragic, tragic act by this group of people in Binyamin, and this is where Perek Yotes ends, and now where Perek Chaf picks up. So, if you look at the first Perek in Perek, the first pasuk, I'm sorry, in Perek Chaf, Vayetzu kol bnei Yisrael vatikohel ha'eda ki ish echad. The entire nation, the entire Jewish nation, comes together, gathers together as one. Lemidon ve'ad be'er sheva, from the north of the country of Eretz Yisrael to the south, ve'eretz ha'gilad, even Gilad, which was on the other side of the Yarden, el Hashem ha'mitzpah. And they gather to Hashem in mitzpah. And you see that this is something that the entire Jewish nation is reacting to. This is not just one group that says, okay, something happened and we have to react. This is the entire Jewish nation that is reacting to this tragedy, reacting to this terrible, terrible act. It says, Ki ish echad, vatikohel ha'ida ki ish echad. They were unified. They came with one purpose, and that was to exact justice from Shevet Binyamin. Perhaps we'll talk about this specifically from the group of thugs, of lowlives, of criminals who did this terrible deed. But they're coming to exact justice. And they're all coming together, El Hashem HaMitzpah, they're coming to Hashem in Mitzpah. Now it's interesting, the language of Atikahel HaEidah, that the entire nation gathers together. So the Malbim points out here that technically, according to the letter of the law, these people may have not been chayav misa. They may have not been able to be executed by Beis Din for what they did. Not to say what they did was not horrendous and tragic and terrible. It was. But they may not have been able to be executed by Beis Din. We know that Beis Din has very strict rules as to how and when exactly they execute someone. The Mishnah tells us in Makos that they very, very rarely executed people. There were no witnesses here. There was no warning in the sense, you know, in terms of Edim and Hasra. So it's possible that they were not really able, meaning the Jewish people were not really able to execute this group of people because of the terrible deed that they did. However, the Malbim says that there is something that we call Hora'a Shah. And Hora'a Shah means that there are times when Beis Din has to act even Lifni Mishuras Hadin. They have to take matters into their own hands. And even in a situation where perhaps, according to the letter of the law, they can't do it, they can't kill someone, but maybe under these circumstances they need to, and they need to make a statement. And that's what they did. But in order to do that, you need either a king, which at this time in Jewish history we don't have. We don't have a king at this time. We're in Shoftim here, towards the end of Sefer Shoftim, but there's no king right now in Jewish history. Or you need the entire Jewish nation, including the Sanhedrin. And says the Malbim, that's the Vatikohel Ha'eda. The Eda implies that it's the entire Jewish nation, including the Sanhedrin. This was all the leaders, everyone came together, and they were about to exact Hora'a Shah. They were about to execute these people. They wanted to kill these people because of Hora'a Shah, even if technically they were not Chayiv Misa, they were not obligated to. At the end of the Pasuk, it says that they gathered El Hashem HaMitzvah. They gathered to Hashem in Mitzvah. What does that mean exactly, El Hashem? So some suggest, the Radak says, one interpretation perhaps is because anytime the Jews gather together, anytime the Jewish people gather together for some Davar Shebikdusha, for some holy cause, that's always called El Hashem. They're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here they're also coming together for a holy cause to exact justice, and therefore it's El Hashem. He also suggests that perhaps Mitzvah was a place that was a Makom Tefillah. It was a place where they gathered together to daven. There was a Mizbeach there. At that time in Sefer Yehoshua, Klal Yisrael had a certain Yeshua. They had a certain salvation in that place, a miraculous salvation. And they set up a Makom Tefillah there. They set up a Mizbeach there. So this may have been a place which was dedicated for service of Hashem, for gathering in Tefillah. And perhaps that's why it says, Al Hashem HaMitzvah. Pasuk Beis, Vayitziatzu Pinos Kol Ha'am Kol Shivtei Yisrael B'Kahal Am Ha'Elokim. So the entire nation, all of the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, all corners of Bnei Yisrael, they gathered together. Arba Meos Elef Ish Ragli Sholev Charev. There were 400,000 foot soldiers, all who were armed with swords, and they all got up to come and fight for Hashem's honor. they got up. The Malbim says that they got up. Imha Elokim. The pasuk says. Right? Imha Elokim. I'm sorry. Amha Elokim. They were the nation of Hashem. Why? Because they were fighting for Hashem's honor. That's what they were doing here. They were fighting for Hashem's honor. It says, the Malbim says also, it says, Ish Ragli. They were foot soldiers. They didn't even wait for their horses. They were so excited to exact justice. They were so encouraged to take revenge. And therefore, they didn't even wait for their horses. They just went on foot to fight with or to exact justice from Shevet Binyamin. So the people of the Shevet of Binyamin hear that Bnei Yisrael gathered at Mitzvah. And Bnei Yisrael gathered together and they consult each other and they want to know, how could this terrible thing have happened? How could this tragedy have occurred? There's a question here in the Mefarshim exactly what they heard. Did they hear everything that Bnei Yisrael were saying? Did they only hear about the fact that Bnei Yisrael gathered? But either way, many of the Mefarshim point out here, the Alshich points out, and the Malbim also points out, that Bnei Binyamin heard what was going on. They heard that Bnei Yisrael had gathered to exact justice, and this was their opportunity to come forward and to say, you know what, we're going to cooperate with the investigation, we're going to cooperate with you, and we're going to hand over these people who did this travesty, who did this terrible deed, we're going to hand them over to you so that you can exact justice from them. Or alternatively, they could have said, listen, we'll handle it on our own. Thank you very much for your interest, but we'll handle it on our own. Neither one of those two things did Bnei Binyamin respond. Bnei Binyamin kind of ignored it. They knew that Bnei Yisrael had gathered, and they kind of ignored the whole thing. and they weren't really that interested in participating, and they ignored the fact that the Jewish people had all gathered together to exact justice. Pasuk Dalet. Vayan ha'ish ha'levi ish ha'isha ha'nirtzacha vayomar. So now the man, the Levi, he responds to the questions of Bnei Yisrael, meaning how could this have happened? So the Isha Levi tells the story. Ha'isha ha'nirtzacha, this was the murdered woman, even though technically they didn't go out to murder her. They went to abuse her. But because she died of her abuse, she died of her wounds, she died because of the trauma, so it refers to as the Isha ha'nirtzacha. And they said, and he said, "Hagiv asa asher levinyamin basi ani ufilagshi lalun." I and my concubine, I and my pilegesh, came to Binyamin, came to this city called Giva. We came here to stay for the night. Pasuk hey, vayakumu alai bale hagiva, vayasobu alai es habayis laila. So the people of Giva, they came and they surrounded the house at night. It's interesting. The Mefarshim point out here that even though it was not all of the people of Giva, there was only a very select group, a very small group of the people of Giva that joined. But nevertheless, it refers to it as Bali HaGiva, the whole people of Giva, the whole city of Giva. Why? Because they didn't stop it. They didn't protest it. This was something that was done in public. This was something that was done. People were aware of it. People knew about it. And everybody turned their backs. Everybody turned and looked the other way. They turned a blind eye to what was going on. So because of that, we say it's Bali HaGiva. It's the whole nation of Giva that was really Achroi, really responsible for what happened. They surrounded the house at night. Osi dimu laharog. They had thought to kill me. They plotted to kill me. And the Mefarshim explained, what do you mean they plotted to kill me? They really wanted to abuse him. They wanted to sexually abuse him, homosexually. But he says that I was going to resist. I wasn't going to just let them do that. And had I resisted, they would have killed me. So really, their intention was to murder me. Ves pilag she inu vatamos, and at the end of the day, they did abuse my pilegesh, and she died as a result of that abuse. Pasuk vav, va'ocheiz befilagshi va'anatcheha. So I took the body, the corpse of my pilegesh, and I cut her up. I cut the body up into pieces. Va'ashalcheha b'chol sedei nachalas Yisrael, and I sent these limbs throughout all of the Jewish nation. Ki asu zima unevala b'Yisrael, because this terrible, terrible deed was committed in Klal Yisrael. The Malbim explains that zima unevala. Zima means a terrible, despicable act. The act itself was terrible and despicable. But the nevala was the fact that it was done in public. Because had it been done in private, it still would have been terrible, it still would have been zima, but at least it would have stopped there. But the fact that it was a terrible act that was done in public, that other people knew about, that other people turned a blind eye to, that's something that could not be tolerated. That's something that needed a response by Bnei Yisrael, and that's the zima unevala. Why did he do this? If you think about it, it's such an intense response to the terrible tragedy. So he, of course, he did it out of pain, but the Mitzudas David said he also did it to wake people up. That people obviously had been a little bit numb to this type of thing. If such a thing could happen in Bnei Yisrael, that means there's a chisaron, there's a lacking, there's a deficiency in the Jewish people, and they needed to be woken up. And when you have a shevet, presumably the leaders of the shevet, they receive a limb from a woman who was abused and who was murdered, so that wakes them up. That wakes them up to say, okay, something terrible happened. We have to take revenge. We have to exact justice. Something really needs to be done here. Pasuk Zayin, Hinei kulchem b'nei Yisrael, havu lachem davar ve'etza halom. And this Ish Levi says to b'nei Yisrael, you all have to get together and to think about what to do, to think about how to react. This is something that affects all of Klal Yisrael. Says this Ish Levi, Kulchem b'nei Yisrael, if this can happen, that means all of Klal Yisrael is affected. There's a deficiency in Klal Yisrael, and this needs to be addressed. Havu lachem davar, think about the matter, think about the psak of how you're going to approach this, what you're going to do. And then Eitza, think about how you're going to implement it. What are you going to do practically? You have your idea, but now you have to implement it. You have to put it into practice. Pasuk Ches, Vayakom kol ha'am ki ish echad leimor. So the entire nation gets up together again as one. Ki ish echad, almost reminiscent of the language you use at Har Sinai. Ki ish echad b'lev echad, the unity of Klal Yisrael, that here too they were unified in terms of exacting justice from these criminals, from these thugs. Vayakom kol ha'am, they all got up. Everyone got up. Ki ish echad leimor, lo nelech ish le'ahalov, lo nasar ish le'veso. No one is leaving. Not one person is going to go home. Not one person is going to go back to his tent, go back to his home. No one is leaving until we figure out what to do, until we figure out how to settle this matter. Pasuk Tes, Ve'ata zeh hadavar asher na'aseh lagiva aleha bagoro. And says the Navi, now this is the thing that we're going to do. We're going to approach Giva, and we're going to see they're eventually going to do battle, but they start out with a call to peace. But we're going to approach Giva, but first we need a Goral, because there are a lot of people here. There are 400,000 soldiers, there are a lot of people here, and we need to feed them. They're going to go into battle. We need provisions. We need to feed them. How are we going to do that? We don't want to send everyone back. They didn't plan to go into battle when they first came. They didn't realize this was going to be a long-term situation, but now it is going to be. We don't want to send everyone back, because then perhaps not everyone is going to come back to fight. So let's send a group of people. We're going to make a goral, we're going to make a lottery, and send a group of people back. Pasuk Yud, V'lakachnu asara anoshim lameya, we're going to send 10% of this force back. 10 people for every 100. L'chol shivtei Yisrael, and the pasuk elaborates, umeya la'elef ve'elef l'ravava, 100 to 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000, again, 10% of the force. L'kachas tzeda la'om la'asos levom l'geva binyamin. In order to get provisions, this is a large force, and they need provisions in order to fight against Binyamin. K'chol ha'nival asher asa b'Yisrael, again, focusing on this tragedy, this terrible, public, despicable act that was done in Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayeosef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir, ki ish echad chaverim. That all of B'nai Yisrael, again and again we have this language focusing on their achdus and their unity of purpose here. Kol ish Yisrael, they all came ki ish echad, like one person, chaverim, friends, to exact justice about this from this terrible, terrible act. And they gathered in mitzvah, they gathered upon the city. They didn't go in quite yet. They didn't start the battle yet because they were waiting for the provisions to return. But they gathered and they were about to attack. Pasuk Yubeis, but before they attacked, they wanted to send a little bit of a peace offering, a little contingent that was going to call out in peace. Vayishlechu shivtei Yisrael anoshim b'chol shivtei binyamin lemor. So the Shevatim, the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, sent out men, b'chol shivtei Binyamin, throughout all of the tribes of Binyamin, lemor, to say, mahara hazos asher nihiyasa b'chem. What was this terrible thing that was done? They first wanted to investigate before they take action, before they go and they wage war, they do battle. They want to investigate. They want to see what happened here. How did you allow such a thing to happen? How can you have allowed such a terrible thing to happen? It's interesting that here it refers to Binyamin as Kol Shivtei Binyamin, which is a strange language, because Binyamin is only one Shevet. The Shivtei Yisrael, I understand, because that's the tribes of Bnei Yisrael. But what does Kol Shivtei Binyamin mean? So Rashi explains that Binyamin actually was comprised of 10 families. And interestingly, if you think about it, says Rashi, from Rachel descended 12 families, what you might call 12 Shvatim. There were 10 families from Binyamin, and 2 from Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. So the Ephraim and Manasseh from Yosef, and the 10 families of Binyamin, all together, that equals 12. So in a sense, there ended up being 12 Shvatim from Binyamin, from Rachel, I'm sorry. So it's interesting, because Rachel, we know, was the favorite wife. And even though, of course, he ended up having 12 Shvatim between all of his wives, among all of his wives, Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah as well, but in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that there would be 12 families, 12 Shvatim, that would only descend from Rachel, who was really the first intended wife and the wife he loved the most. The Radak also points out here that Binyamin focused on the fact that they had 10 families, 10 Shvatim, and the reason why he calls them Shvatim is because they were very strong, and he says, and Binyamin says to himself, I have 10 Shvatim, and I can fight against the 10 Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael. Because again, Bnei Yisrael is only 10 Shvatim, because minus one of Binyamin. Binyamin's, you know, on their own side. And Shevet Levi wasn't going to fight. Shevet Levi, you know, wasn't going to fight this battle. And therefore, he said, I have 10 Shvatim, and they have 10 Shvatim. So really, this is an even battle. And Binyamin was already, you know, sticking up their backs and getting defensive and saying, you know, we can fight you. This is not going to be easy. The Malbim points out here that really it wasn't just a call to peace, but it was actually Bnei Yisrael telling Shevet Binyamin that you have the first achrayis, you have the first responsibility to exact justice and to take matters into your own hands and to bring these people to justice. These were terrible people. They were from Shevet Binyamin. They did something terrible. And you, as Shevet Binyamin, your leaders, your batei din, you're the ones who are responsible to take them to justice and to exact justice and to punish them for what they did. Pasuk Yedalad Vayeyasfu Bnei Binyamin Min Ha'arim Hagiv Asa Latseis Lamilchaba In Bnei Yisrael. So not only does Binyamin not respond, not only do they not hand over the thugs, hand over the criminals that did this despicable act, not only do they not take matters into their own hands and say, you know what, we'll take care of it, we'll exact justice, we're going to punish them for what they did, but Shevet Binyamin actually goes out to battle against Bnei Yisrael. And they say, this is not your fight, we're going to take care of our own, and you have no business butting into our business, so to speak. And therefore, they gather up to wage war. The Alshich points out that the language here in Pasuk Yud Dalet contrasts to the language that we read in Pasuk Yud Aleph just a few psukim ago. Vayeosef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir. So here, the entire Jewish people gathers together. Vayeosef, that language that they all gather together. And here again in Pasuk Yud Dalet we have Vayeosfu, that they all gather together. Bnei Yisrael all gather together b'kedusha. They all gather together in holiness and in unity of purpose for justice to make sure that such a despicable act is punished. And Shevet Binyamin, they do the opposite. Vayeosfu Bnei Binyamin min ha'arim. They're gathering together for something that's not so great. They're gathering together for something that's not really a great purpose to fight against Bnei Yisrael. Continuing to Pasuk Tesvav, Vayispaktu Bnei Binyamin Bayom Hahu Meha'arim Esrim Vishisha Elef Ish Sholef Charev. So Bnei Binyamin were counted on that day from all of their cities of Shevet Binyamin, where all the soldiers gathered from. 26,000 soldiers. 26,000 soldiers gathered from all of the cities of Binyamin, all armed again with swords, just like we read about when it came to Bnei Yisrael. And this is besides for the men of Giva. The men of Giva themselves were their own force of 700 men, and they all gathered together to fight as well. So here we have 26,700 men that are coming to wage war against these are all Shevet Binyamin coming to wage war against the remainder of Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Tes Zayin. It's interesting, the Radak points out here, we'll appreciate this later as well, that if, when we look later, we'll see that only 25,700 are accounted for, even though this Pasuk lists 26,700, but only 25,700 are accounted for at the end. And the Radak points out that there are 1,000 missing. He offers two possibilities. Either the 1,000 kind of died in battle. We'll see that there are a couple of stages to these battles. So maybe they just died as the battles wore on and the Pasuk doesn't elaborate on those 1,000. Alternatively, he says, he quotes a Medrash that says that there were 1,000 of Bnei Binyamin that went along with the force at first, but really were not in favor of what was going on. And they actually fled. They escaped. And they went away to a place, he calls it Romania. They went away to this place, Romania, and they escaped there because they were not in agreement with how Shevet Binyamin was handling this. Continuing on to Pasuk Yud Zayin, I'm sorry, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Mikol Ha'am Azeh Shevameos Ish Bachor Iter Yad Yemino, Kol Zeh Kolea Ba'Even El Hasara Velo Yachati. Interesting Pasuk. The Pasuk points out that from this nation, 700 men were expert marksmen. They were lefties. It says Iter Yad Yemino, which means they were lefties. And they could not even use really their right hand. They had a very weak right hand. But they were such expert marksmen that even if they aimed for a hair, El Hasaru, they aimed for a hair Velo Yachti, they would never miss. So they had 100% accuracy from a distance, even with a very, very minute target. These were powerful soldiers. The Pasuk is saying that this was not a small, even though it was a much smaller force, Bnei Yisrael had 400,000 and they only had 27,000 soldiers, but 700 of these were expert marksmen, and really not to be, really a force to be reckoned with. Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Ish Yisrael, he spoke to Levan mi Binyamin, and the Jewish people were counted apart from Binyamin, 400,000 ish, They were counted as 400,000 soldiers, Sholeif Charev, again, armed with swords, Kol Zeh Ish Milchama, everyone was a soldier. So 400,000 soldiers, we'll talk in a little bit why they were counted. It's a funny language of the Pasuk, they were counted separately. V'ish Yisrael, Hispaktu Levan Mi Binyamin. Of course it was Levan Mi Binyamin. Of course they were separate from Binyamin. So we'll talk a little bit about why that is. But they were counted separate from Binyamin. The Malbim points out here that they didn't lose one soldier. This was 400,000 men. They didn't lose one soldier. And even though in the Torah it talks about the fact that when a force goes to war, certain people left before they went to battle. People that were afraid, people that were scared, they left and they went back home. Sometimes they were physically scared. Sometimes the psukim described they were scared because of the averos that they had done, that they felt that they didn't have the proper zechusim, the proper merits to be successful in battle. But here the pasuk testifies to us that there were still 400,000, not one person left. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayakumu Vayalu Beis El. So they went up to Beis El. They went up to Beis El. Vayish Alu Beilokim, and they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, through the Urim V'Tumim. They asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomru B'nei Yisrael, Miyale Lanu Batchila LaMilchama Im B'nei Binyamin. Who should go up first? Which Shevet should go up first from B'nei Yisrael to fight against B'nei Binyamin? Vayomer Hashem Yehuda Batchila. And Hashem responds that Yehuda should go up first, Shevet Yehuda should go up first. It's interesting because it says they went up to Beis El. Now the Mefarshim point out here, the Mefarshim here on this Pasuk and the Mefarshim later in Pasuk Chavav, the Radak points this out in Pasuk Chavav, that the Pasuk there also says Vayavo Beis El. So Beis El was the same city as Luz, but most of the Mefarshim, the Mitzudas David here and the Radak there, both say that this really refers to Shiloh. This doesn't really refer to the city of Luz, which was the city of Beis El. It really refers to the city of Shiloh. And the reason why it calls it Beis El was really just because this was the house of Hashem. So this wasn't the proper name of the city, Beis El. This is really, the proper name was Shiloh. But this was the house of Hashem. This was where the Aron was. This is where the Mishkan was at that time. This is where the Kohen Gadol was. We'll see Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol. This is where the Kohen Gadol was. So really it refers to Shiloh. The Radak later in Pasuk Chavav does suggest the possibility that maybe it does refer to Beis El, the actual city of Beis El, which is Luz, and he says that perhaps they moved the Aron from Shiloh to Beis El. Beis El was just north of Shiloh, and maybe there they tapped into a zchus, because Yaakov Avinu, we know, davened in Beis El and was blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Beis El. Binyamin was actually born, interestingly, Binyamin was born in Beis El, or near Beis El. And perhaps that's also why they specifically went to Beis El, because they felt maybe that since Binyamin was born there, so maybe that's where they can tap into this zchus of Yaakov and defeat Binyamin for the terrible Aveira that they had done. But the Radak is not excited about it. He said, if you look at Pasuk Chavzayin, the implication is that they went to a place where the Aron had been for a long time, and the Aron was in Shiloh. The Aron was not in Beis El. So maybe they moved it, but the Radak is not crazy about it. So according to most Mefarshim, this is actually referring to Shiloh. But they come, and they come to Shiloh, and they daven, they ask the Urim V'Tumim, which Shevet should go up first. And the Mefarshim point out here that it's interesting that they didn't ask, should they go to battle, should they not go to battle. They asked who should go first. The assumption was they should go. And perhaps this was a little bit of a deficiency in the way B'nai Yisrael went about things, and we'll see that they're about to suffer a defeat. And maybe part of the reason is that they didn't really ask the question properly. They should have just come to the Mishkan, and they come to the Kohen Gadol and the Urim V'Tumim and say, what should we do? Should we go, should we not go? Instead, they assumed they should go. They had an agenda. And they came, and they wanted to know who should go first. Who should go first? We know already the answer to our question. The question now is who should go first. It's 9:30 now. Whoever wants to duck out at 9:30 is more than welcome to. I'm going to go till about 9:45. Usually it's a 45-minute shir, so I'll go a little longer. We're the last shir of the evening, I think. But feel free if you have to go to duck out. But we'll continue until 9:45. So, continuing to Pasuk Yutes, Vayakumu b'nei Yisrael baboker vayachanu al hagiva. So b'nei Yisrael gets up in the morning. They have their directive from the Urim v'Tumim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yehuda should go up first, and they get up the next morning, and they camp outside of Giva. Pasuk Chaf, Vayetze ish Yisrael la'milchama im Binyamin. So b'nei Yisrael, ish Yisrael, calls it ish Yisrael here again, signifying this unity. It's like one person, signifying the unity that they go up to wage battle, to wage war with Binyamin. Vayarchu itam ish Yisrael milchama el hagiva, and they attack Shevet Binyamin. They wage war with Shevet Binyamin in this city of Giva. You would think, and this is important, you would think that b'nei Yisrael is doing something right. They're the ones who are coming to punish the people from Binyamin, from Giva, for doing this terrible act that they did. They're doing something right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be on their side. All of Sefer Yehoshua and all of Sefer Shoftim is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping B'nai Yisrael when they fight holy battles, when they fight Milchamta, you know, a Milchemes Mitzvah. This, you would think, is something like a Milchemes Mitzvah, so they should be successful. And yet, we read in Pasuk Chaf Aleph just the opposite. Vayetzu B'nai Binyamin min Agiva vayashchisu v'Yisrael b'yom hahu shnayim ve'esrim elef ish arza. That B'nai Binyamin come out of Giva, they come out of the city, they come out to meet them. They don't back down, and they destroy vayashchisu, a very strong language. It's not just that they kill, not just that they destroy vayashchisu be Israel on that day, 22,000 Jewish people. And here the pasuk does not say anything about any casualties from Binyamin. Again, you read the pasuk, the pasuk shot in the psukim, it sounds like Binyamin did not lose one soldier. So again, we learned before that some of the Mefarshim say, no, they did lose a couple soldiers here and there, maybe around 500, but the Pasuk doesn't mention them. But here, 22,000 soldiers from B'nai Yisrael died. Let's just read a couple more Pesukim, and then we'll come back to explain a little bit. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayischazek Ha'am Ish Yisrael. So they suffer this defeat on that day. They come together, they strengthen themselves. The Metzudas David points out here that Vayischazek, it doesn't mean that they trained more, it means that they strengthened their morale, strengthened their resolve, strengthened their hearts to come out and fight again. Vayosifu la'aroch milchama b'makom asher aruchu sham b'yom harishon. They come right back the next day. B'nai Yisrael, even though they lost 22,000, the morale was hit a little bit, they come right back, they come out swinging the next morning, and they come right out to do battle again the next morning with Shevet Binyamin, just like they did on the first day. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayalu v'nei Yisrael vayivku lifnei Hashem ad ha'erev. Now here it's interesting that the Pasuk says that some of B'nai Yisrael, some of them went out to battle again, just like they had done in the past. But some of them went to cry before Hashem. They went back to cry before Hashem. They cried that whole day. Vayish'alu v'Hashem le'mor, and they again asked Hashem, ha'osif lageshes la'milchama im b'nei v'nyamin achi. Should I go back to battle? Should I go back to fight against B'nai Binyamin, my brother? Should I go back to fight against them? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem responds, Alu Elof. Go up, go up, go up to do it. Vayikru B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Binyamin, Bayom Hasheni. So they come back that second day, B'nai Yisrael, they come back, they approach B'nai Binyamin on that second day to fight. And again, Pasuk Chofei, Vayetze Binyamin Likrosa Min Agiva Bayom Hasheni. B'nai Binyamin come out from the Giva on that second day. Again, Vayashchisu B'nai Yisrael Od. They once again slaughtered from B'nai Yisrael Od, Shmonas Asar Elef Ish Arza. Another 18,000. Unbelievable. A total of 40,000 people from B'nai Yisrael were slaughtered on these days. Kol Eile Sholfei Charev. Again, these were armed soldiers. These weren't just the civilians. Armed soldiers were slaughtered before Shevet Binyamin. And now at this point, they're at a loss. They don't know what to do. Pasuk Chavav, they regroup. Vayalu kol b'nei Yisrael. Now it's not just a segment that goes up to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol b'nei Yisrael. Everyone stops, they put down their arms, and they all go up to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol ha'am. Vayavou Beis El. Again, they come to Beis El. And again, presumably this is Shiloh. Vayivku vayeshvu sham lifnei Hashem. They cry. They sit there before Hashem. Vayatsumu bayomahu adarev. They fast on that day, the entire day until the night. Vayalu olos ushlamim b'fnei Hashem. They bring karbanos. They bring karban ola. They bring karban shlamim. Here they're really doing tshuva. Not like before where they just cried, but here they're crying, they're sitting, they're fasting, they're bringing karbanos, they're trying to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim say, Olos Ushlamim, two types of karbanos. Olos is l'ratzon, they want to gain favor in the eyes of Hashem. Shlamim, they want shalom, they want peace between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayish'alu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem. And here they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, Visham Aron b'ris ha'elokim b'yomim ha'heim. And there was the Aron. Says the Radak, that pasuk implies that we're in Shiloh here. We're in the place where the Aron was the entire time. They come to Shiloh, they come where the Aron was, where the Aron is. Pasuk Chav Ches, Ufinchas ben Elazar ben Aron omeid lefanav b'yomim ha'heim lemor. And Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aron HaKohen is here. He's the Kohen Gadol. He's here and he's the one who's officiating over the Beis HaMikdash, over the Mishkan. Ha'osif od latzeis la'milchama im b'nei v'nyamin achi im echdal. And here they pose the question, the proper question. Should we continue to fight? Should we stop? What should we do? Are they chayev misa? Will we be successful? Or perhaps are they not chayev misa and we won't be successful? And we should stop, we should withdraw, we should retreat. Vayomer Hashem alu. Ki machar etnenu v'yadecha. And Hashem says, go up, because tomorrow I'm going to give them into your hands. Tomorrow you will be successful. And we'll talk, let's just continue for a little bit. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayasem Yisrael orvim el hagiva saviv. Bnei Yisrael now strategized. The Mefarshim say here, they don't really need to do this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that they would be successful. But they're so angry. They're so angry about what Shevet Binyamin did. They're so bent on bringing these people to justice that they do strategize. They come up with a plan that's very interesting, very interestingly, very similar to what they did in the city of Ai in Sefer Yehoshua. What do? They want to draw the people of Giva out. Pasuk Lamed, Vayalu b'nei Yisrael b'nei Binyamin b'yom Ashlishi. This is the third day. B'nei Yisrael comes to Shevet Binyamin on the third day. Vayarchu el Giva kifam b'fam, and they again attack Giva, just like they did on day one, just like they did on day two, day three. They do the same. They attack Giva in the same way. And here again, B'nei Binyamin. The first day they slaughtered 22,000. The second day they slaughtered 18,000. They're feeling good. They're feeling confident. Vayetzu b'nei Binyamin likras ha'am. They come out against B'nai Yisrael, and Huntiku min ha'ir, they come out of the city. Huntiku is a strong language of that they were disrupted, they were detached from the city, and we'll see why that's important. Vayachelu l'hakos meha'am chalolim kifam b'fam. And they again begin to kill from B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't say how much here, but they begin to kill soldiers of B'nai Yisrael, and they're feeling good, they're feeling confident, just like they had on day one, just like they did on day two. Bamasilos asher achas ola beis el v'achas givasa, and this is right at the crossroads where one road leads to Beis El, one road leads to Giva. Right at that intersection, that's where this battle is happening. Basada in the field, kishloshim ish b'Yisrael. They kill 30 people of Bnei Yisrael, and they're feeling the momentum. They killed the 22,000. They killed the 18,000. Now, right in the beginning of the battle, they kill another 30. They're feeling good. This is going in the right direction. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayomru B'nei Binyamin, Nigafim Heim Lefanenu. B'nei Binyamin are feeling confident. And they say, look, we've got them. Shevet, the B'nei Yisrael, they're once again being slaughtered before us. Kivari Shona, just like the first day and the second day. U'v'nei Yisrael Amru, but B'nei Yisrael are thinking to themselves, Nanusa Unesaknehu, min Ha'ir El Amasilos. But they have a strategy. And they're intending to lure, to pull the soldiers from Shevet Binyamin, from Giva, out of the city, to detach them from the city. And then what happened? Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'chol Ish Yisrael Komu Mimekomo V'yarchu B'val Tamar V'orev Yisrael Megiach Mimekomo M'marei Geva. That all of Bnei Yisrael now jump out of their place. There was an ambush that was sitting. And the Mefarshim explained that the force that attacked Shevet Binyamin attacked from the north. They came down from the north to attack the city of Giva, but there was an ambush. There was another group of 10,000 men that was lying in ambush on the west side of Giva. And now everyone comes out to fight. Both the force on the north side, they turn around and they fight back against Shevet Binyamin. And now this ambush force, this 10,000 force, jumps out of their position on the western side. Pasuk Lamedal, Vayavo mi neged la Giva es aseres alofim ish bachur mikol Yisrael. This 10,000, this force of 10,000, and it's ish bachur. This is a strong force. These are the elite soldiers, and they come out v'amilchama keveda. It's a very strong battle between the first force coming from the north and Shevet Binyamin. Fehem lo yadu kinogas aleim hara. Shevet Binyamin does not know what's about to hit them. They don't realize what's going to happen. Vayigov pasuk lamed hey. Vayigov Hashem es Binyamin lifnei Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Shevet Binyamin to be destroyed before Bnei Yisrael. Vayashchisu Bnei Yisrael b'Binyamin b'yomahu esrim v'chamisha elef u'meya ish kol eile sholeif charef. And they end up destroying, Bnei Yisrael end up killing from Binyamin 25,100 soldiers. They end up killing them. So they kill almost the entire force. On that third day, on the third day of battle, almost all of Shevet Binyamin is wiped out. Now, just to go back a little bit, and just for the last couple of minutes to analyze some of the psukim, and Amir Tzashem will continue next week. But many of the Mefarshim grapple here with what exactly happened. You have Bnei Yisrael that are coming, you know, so with such a just cause. They're coming with a just cause. They want to bring these people to justice. Shevet Binyamin is not acting properly. They're not taking responsibility for what was done. And yet, the two first days, Bnei Yisrael are slaughtered. They lose 20,000 the first, 22,000 the first day, 18,000 the second day, and they're only successful on the third day. So what happened? So many of the Mefarshim quote Chazal, and with this we'll conclude. Many of the Mefarshim quote Chazal. It's based on a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and appears in the Gemara as well, that Bnei Yisrael were being punished here. Because several prakim earlier in Sefer Shoftim, there was a story of Pesel Micha, where an entire Shevet Dan adopted this idol, literally an idol. And they adopted it as their own, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. And nothing happened. Nobody from Bnei Yisrael said anything. Nobody from Bnei Yisrael reacted. You didn't have the reaction that you have here of all of Bnei Yisrael coming out to do justice and to bring the people to justice. No. They kind of ignored it. They turned a blind eye. They looked the other way. And here, all of a sudden, Bnei Yisrael is coming out in full force. And as Rashi says, the Radak says, the Malbim says, that what happened? When it came to my kavod, when it came to Avodah Zarah, when it came to something that related to my kavod, no response, no reaction. It was okay, we turn a blind eye, we let them do what they, you know, we're going to do what we do and let them do what they do. But when it comes to immorality, when it comes to something that relates to the proper functioning of society, that you come out for, the covet of humanity, that you come out for. Again, not chas v'shalom to say that the travesty that was done was not a travesty. It was a terrible tragedy. But to come out for the covet, for your own covet, for the covet of Bnei Adam, for the covet of humanity, and not to come out for my own covet, not to come out for the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you do such a thing? How can you possibly do such a thing? And it's such an important lesson, and that's why they were punished. And Amir Tzashem will learn a little bit more next week about these two battles and why they were punished and why the third day they were successful. But I think this idea is such an important idea, because in life we are so focused on our society, we're so focused on our community, which we should be 100%. What they were doing here was the right thing to do, to take these people to justice. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us is that we can't just be focused on ourselves. We can't just be focused on our community. We can't just be focused on our society. We have to be focused on His kavod as well. We have to be focused on our ruchnias, on our spirituality, just as much as we're focused on our gashmias and our lives and our society and our community. Unfortunately, now as we know, we're all grappling with this coronavirus. And Baruch Hashem, in a great way, we're all taking the steps that we need to ensure our own health and to ensure the health of our community. But this last lesson, I think, resonates very strongly. That just as we're so scared of this physical threat to us, we also throughout our lives have to be so scared of the spiritual threats to make sure that we're coming out with the same passion, the same vigor, the same commitment, and the same dedication against the spiritual threats to our spiritual lives, to our ruchnias, to our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we are to the physical, as we are to this terrible coronavirus. And Amir Tzashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the schus of us learning all together, what a beautiful show of achdus to come all together to learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should quickly release us from this terrible decree, should quickly get rid of this magefa, and should quickly end it so that we can all get back to our regular shiurim, hopefully with the same achdus, but we can all get back to our regular shiurim and regular avodas Hashem, davening together in our shuls and coming together in our shuls to learn Torah. I wish you all a wonderful evening.